You know, the economic times, the stock market times, the political times, we've got a whole lot more questions than we do answers. Now, one of the things that Wall Street's been waiting on are the NVIDIA earnings, so we get some kind of a read on artificial intelligence, which is the big driver. And the other thing that's late is what about Fed Governor Lisa Cook filing a lawsuit against the president so that, you know, perhaps she can keep her position. And then there are all these tariffs out there. I tell you, we need an expert. And that's exactly what Hugh Johnson is. He's got that unique marriage of a lot of savvy in the stock market from decades and decades of watching it. But he's also an economist, the CEO of Hugh Johnson Economics, Hugh Johnson. Hugh Johnson joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Great to be with you, David.
Okay, so where do we start? Let's see. You know, so let me go to the Fed, because this thing has been looming. And I, you know, the sort of Damocles was over Jay Powell's head for a long time. And it looks like they decided to leave him in place. But that was not, but now maybe you use Lisa Cook as a way to get control of the Fed and interest rates and start calling the shots. Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're leaving Powell alone for the time being, because he doesn't have much time left. I mean, he's got until really May of 2026, and they'll be going through a process of trying to choose a replacement for Powell over the course of the next 1, 2, maybe even, it may even be 3 months. So I think they're going to leave Powell alone. And what he really wants to do is exercise control over the voting that occurs by the Federal Open Market Committee with regard to interest rates. And obviously the way he wants to do that is that if he can fire Lisa Cook, or one of the members of the Open Market Committee, one of the voting members of the Open Market Committee, he can replace her with somebody that might vote along the lines of the president. So the president wants to increase his influence on the decisions made by the Federal Reserve.
Okay, but given all that, we thought there would be a dramatic I thought there would be a dramatic reaction, that you'd see interest rates, you know, I don't know, do something, and the stock market would probably tank. But none of that's happened. Waiting for another shoe to drop? Why?
I think, David, quite frankly, that investors really, quite frankly, care more about what's going on in the economy and the interest rate decisions that are going to be made in September. And I think the widespread expectation is that the Federal Reserve will go and reduce interest rates in September. It's not a guarantee, but nevertheless, it looks as though they're going to reduce interest rates in September. So that might take the heat off for a little bit of time. I think that's one of the reasons. But the big reason is, you know, it's not clear that anything's going to happen that's going to really change the vote of the Federal Open Market Committee. I don't think he's going to be able to do that by simply replacing Lisa Cook. So I think that the investors pretty much share that view, that nothing is really material going to happen that's going to, let's say, permanently endanger the independence of the Federal Reserve. I don't think investors think that's going to happen.
Okay. So I understand then why they would pass. So let me move on to tariffs. This thing has been looming for a long time, and everybody knows that tariffs are inflationary, that, you know, people end up paying them, and they're going to pay more for goods. And if you pay more for goods, that's inflation. Yeah, but the fact is it hasn't showed up very much. And while there was a sort of a knee-jerk reaction early on, we certainly recovered all those losses. And now, as the rhetoric continues, I mean, doubling tariffs on India or whatever, we're not seeing any reaction now. Is the market just numb?
I don't think it's numb. No, I wouldn't call it numb. But I think it's a good idea to look back at the so-called trade wars of 2018 and 2019, Trump won, or the first Trump administration, and you'll see that the tariffs were really an on-again, off-again. What we're seeing today is we're seeing the same thing that happened in 2018 and 19. The second thing I think it's important from, or the lesson of 2018 and 19, is that, yes, inflation did increase, but it only increased a little bit and for a short period of time. It increased from 1.8% to 2.3%. over a period of 6 months, and then it went down and down sharply. And I think the expectation is we'll see something very similar to 2018 and 19, that yes, you might get an increase in inflation, and I think that's coming, but it's not going to be permanent. It's going to be short-lived, and I think that's the expression that Chairman Powell used in his speech at Jackson Hole. So short-lived increase in inflation followed by a decline in inflation after that short-lived increase. At least that's the hope or expectation.
You know, when we hear about lower interest rates, especially coming out of the White House, we hear two things. On the one hand, it's going to drastically cut our cost of servicing the debt for the United States. But then he also talks about the housing market and the stimulation for the housing market. You know, and in both cases, that sends a lot of money into the economy, the housing market in particular. You know, once you buy a house, that's when you really become a consumer. You're going to fill it up.
That's right. And there's going to be a lot of spending going on. You know, if you look at this, what used to be called the one big beautiful bill, and you ask yourself the question, what is the expectation by, say, the Congressional Budget Office as to what that's going to do for, say, deficits and the need by the U.S. government to have to borrow money to finance those deficits? But we're talking about very substantial increase in the deficits, $4.0 or $4.1 trillion. That number changes a little bit from time to time, but it's going to be a lot of deficit financing by the federal government in response to that one big, beautiful bill or to try to finance those tax cuts. And that's going to take a lot of money, and quite frankly, a lot of money from foreign, private, and public investors, and they're not going to be too happy when we're going through a period of raising tariffs. So, you know, this is, you might be seeing a little bit of upward pressure on interest rates because of the so-called one big beautiful bill.
So are we short-sighted then? I mean, we're looking at the near term. The market is looking at the near term right now and not getting a vision beyond 6 to 12 months out.
You know, I'll tell you, David, I think I would look at this as there's something going on near term. And what's going on near term is the market's under a little bit of pressure. And I think, quite frankly, it's under a little bit of pressure. It has been for the last, say, 2.5 to 3 weeks. And I think the reason for the market under a little bit of pressure, not much pressure, is primarily, quite frankly, because we've gotten to a level which is a little bit pricier, overvalued. That's my view. Everybody differs on this, as you know, but I think it's a little bit pricier and overvalued. And the second thing you look at and you see is a level of optimism out there about the stock market is pretty widespread. And quite frankly, that's not good news. I mean, it sounds like it's good news. It's not good news when you have that much optimism. So the combination of a little bit of priciness and overvaluation and widespread optimism has led to a little bit of a slowdown in the stock market. It isn't declining sharply, but it's a little bit of a slowdown. And its valuation really is the issue, I think, right now, if we're thinking about the market and what ordinarily drives stocks.
Yeah. You know, it's hard for me on the short run to get a handle on what's important in the marketplace. I see dramatic moves. But a lot of it, I mean, I look at the volume and it's computers. And these are not day traders, but second traders, and they have the ability to move very violently. I mean, the average Joe, I think, is involved in the marketplace, you know, in 401ks and mutual funds and in sort of long-term investing. So it's hard to make the distinction between where is the consumer sentiment and what is the market sentiment. They seem to be two different things.
Yeah, they sure do. And you're absolutely right. There's a lot of very heavy volume being done. And it's not by individual investors. There's some individual investors, obviously, at work here, but not by individual investors. I like to use the expression, when I describe the stock market right now, and, you know, there's some good things, good days, and there's some bad things and bad days. But I like to say it's really been a sort of a trendless and volatile period. And I really emphasize the word volatility, and that gets to what you're talking about, which is some substantial investors that move very quickly with substantial volumes in and out of the market have created the volatility. But when you back away from it all, even though, you know, we've had good days and bad days, basically it's been, for the time being, a somewhat trendless market. And it appears as though that trendlessness, that the market or investors are not responding to this amazing variety of news, some of it positive, some of it negative, that's coming at us. So trendless and volatile for the time being, David, but that's not going to last forever. And I think eventually we'll come out of this and we'll be in a positive market environment. But for now, because of the valuation issue, we might be stuck for a little bit of time.
So then I'll ask it this way. So, you suddenly come into $100,000, rich aunt, something like that. And do you sit on it for right now, or do you put it into the marketplace? Do you put it in the U.S. market, European markets? What do you do with money right now?
Great question. Tough question. Nobody knows the answer to that question, I might add, including myself. It's whether the market's going to go up or go down. What you see a lot of investors doing is, look, they're puzzled. They don't know what to do. So you've heard the expression dollar cost averaging, I'm sure. And a lot of investors that I work with, and a lot of investors, period, are simply going in on a sort of a systematic dollar cost averaging basis, which simply means put a little bit of money into the market now. You don't know whether it's going to go up or go down. Put a little bit in now. Wait a month. Put a little bit more in a month, and then 2 months and 3 months. Do it in a systematic way so that it takes you away from that whole process of trying to guess where the market's going. You don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. And the best way, given the long-term positive record of the market, do it on a nice systematic dollar cost averaging way. I think equities are going to turn out to be a really very rewarding, but it's going to take some patience. You remember my favorite expression, David? It's time, not timing, that's the secret to successful investing. And do it in a nice systematic way. That's what I would advise all investors.
And that is the universal truth. But I'm telling you, Hugh, you've been watching this longer than I have, but I've been watching it a long time. And just when you think you get it figured out, they change the rules on you.
Yeah, they sure do. It's look, forecasting the market is about as difficult of anything I've ever seen. And the one thing that seems to have played out over time is, again, that time, not timing, but have a positive attitude towards the markets. And remember, I mean, it's just I said it so many times that I'm not sure it bears repeating, but the equity, the returns on equities have over a long period of time, not always been good, but over a long period of time have been very rewarding. They've been rewarding to me, to my clients, and I think to most people that have been involved in it. Don't get scared.
Always good counsel from Hugh Johnson, the CEO of Hugh Johnson Economics, and our guest today. Thank you very much for the time, sir.
My pleasure, David, as always.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.